Yosef finally reveals himself to his brothers. There was that cliffhanger at the end of Parshat Miketz, where we don't know what's going to happen. He demands that Binyamin stay behind as a slave, and you're all free to go. And then the Parsha ends, and we have the good news. Yosef reveals himself to his brothers. The brothers go back and tell Yaakov that Yosef is alive. At first he doesn't believe them. He's skeptical, but then they convince him. And Yaakov responds, Vayomer Yisrael, Rab od Yosef b'ni chai, el chaver enu b'terem amus. I want to go see Yosef before I die. Vayisa Yisrael v'chol ha-shalo v'yavo b'eir ha-shava. Vayizbach zvachim le'lokei aviv Yitzchak. Yaakov travels to Mitzrayim, and he travels via Be'er Sheva. Why dafka Be'er Sheva? Someone could say, and that seems to be pshat in the psukim, that he wanted to be makriv karbonos in Be'er Sheva. Why that may be, there's a history of the avos in Be'er Sheva, but the Medrash Rabbah in Bereishis gives a different answer. Why does he go there? Amar Rav Nachman Shahalach Lakotz Arazim Shenata Avram Zikeno Beve'er Sheva. He went to chop down the trees that his grandfather had planted. Why is Yaakov interested in chopping down trees that his grandfather had planted? He's out to destroy the forest. The Medrash continues, Ksiv Abriach Atichon B'toch HaKrashim. When they built the Mishkan, they were wooden poles that went through the sides of the Mishkan. And the middle pole, there were two at the top, two at the bottom, the middle pole went all the way. And how long was it? Amar Rabbi Levi V'Abriach Atichon Shnayim U'Shloshim Amma Hayubam. It was 32 Amos long. That's very long. About 48 feet or more. Nehechan matzolot hasha. Where in the Midbar did they get wood? A single beam of wood that was so long, 32 amos long. Alamelamed shayu mutznayim imayim imos Yaakov Avinu. Says Yaakov Avinu had those wooden beams. And he brought those wooden beams down from Be'er Sheva, those trees that Avram had planted, and he brought them into Mitzrayim. And when Bnei Yisrael left Mitzrayim, they took those wooden beams with them, those pieces of wood, and that's what they used to help build the Mishkan. So Yaakov Kamenetsky asks, why was it necessary to get the wood dafka from Be'er Sheva, dafka from those trees that Avram had planted? Weren't any other trees, any other long, tall cedar trees, or some other kind of trees? Hatzeshitim. It didn't have to be cedar, it was Hatzeshitim. But those are the only ones available. So Rabbi Yaakov suggests two reasons why Yaakov Avinu wanted dafka those trees. Yaakov Avinu knew Beruach HaKodesh that Bnei Yisrael were going to build the Mishkan. And if you're going to build the Mishkan, you want to make sure that the building blocks of this Mishkan are pure from the very, very start. These trees that Avram Avinu had planted were part of Yaakov Avinu's Hachnasas Orchim. It Vayita Eshel Beve'er Sheva, to give people a place to sit in the shade and rest. Their makor, their source, was such kedusha, such stemming from a mitzvah of the achnosas orchim of Avraham Avinu. That's the kind of wood that I want to use. That's the wood that I want to use to build a mishkan. And it's interesting, the Chazal tell us, based on the pasuk, Atzei Shitim Omdim, that these pieces of wood that were used to build the walls, the structure of the Mishkan, never got destroyed. Eventually, when Bnei Yisrael moved to Shiloh, they made a Mishkan of Avonim, stone building. The roof was still not permanent, but the building itself was permanent, and the wood of the Mishkan was buried, was nignas. It was never destroyed. The Beis HaMikdash, both Batei Mikdash, in which non-Jews also helped in building, those Batei Mikdash were destroyed. But the Mishkan, which came from such a source of purity, these Atzei Shittim, they lasted forever. And that's why Yaakov Avinu wanted that Bnei Yisrael should build the Mishkan from the purest of trees, from the trees of Avram Avinu. That's one suggestion that Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky gives. And then he offers another suggestion. Yaakov Avinu realizes he's going down to Mitzrayim, and he probably won't come out of there alive. Maybe not his children, grandchildren. It's going to be generations in Mitzrayim. From the Bris Bein Absarim, Arba Me'oshana. Okay, they're in Mitzrayim only 210 years, but that's a long time. The new generation is going to grow up totally unconnected to Eretz Canaan. Have no connection. They weren't born there. At some point, even their parents weren't born there. What's their connection to Eretz Canaan? Yaakov says, I need to leave my children with a connection to Eretz Canaan. What am I going to leave them with? I'm going to take these massive trees. They were amazingly long, amazingly tall. Some interpret that he actually replanted them in Mitzrayim. And the children are always going to ask, what are these trees? Highly unusual. There are no other trees like these in all of Mitzrayim. And the parents are going to say, because Zaidi, Yaakov, brought them. From where did they bring him? From a land called Canaan. What? What's this land called Canaan? This is the land that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised us. But we live in Mitzrayim. Yes. But one day we're going to leave Mitzrayim. And we're going to go back to the land that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised us. And we're going to build the traveling temple. It's going to call the Mishkan. And we're going to use this wood. Because this wood came from Eretz Canaan. From our land. And one generation told the next generation that told the next generation that those trees that were so highly unusual, they came from Canaan. So all the kids, and then they grew up as adults and told their kids, we have a connection to Canaan. That's where we came from. That's where Zaidi came from. And that's where we're going back to. I want to offer a third suggestion as to why Dafka, these Atzei Shittim, Dafka, the ones that Avram Avinu planted. To a certain extent, it's based on what Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky suggested with a slight variation. The Medrash in Tanna Dvei Elio tells us as follows. Kishahoyu Yisrael b'Mitzrayim nitkapzu kulam v'yashvu yachat Yishum shahayu kulam ba'aguda achas v'korsu bris yachad shiyasu gmilas chasodim ze im ze. Bnei Yisrael come down to Mitzrayim, and they're going to be living amongst a foreign population in a foreign land. And the Bris Bein Absarim tells them they're going to become slaves. What's going to keep them united as one? What's going to hold them together? They don't have Torah yet. It's before Matan Torah. It's going to hold them together. Yes, Chazal tell us that Loshino et Loshonon, that Malbusham et Shmotam still spoke Loshon HaKodesh and dressed a certain way and used certain names. But they were influenced. The Navi tells us they were Oved Avodah Zarah. What's going to hold them together? It says when they came down to Mitzrayim, they made a covenant amongst themselves. We're going to be Gomel Chesed with one another. We're going to do Chesed. And that's going to keep us together. The Torah tells us in Parshas Kisavo that when Bnei Yisrael came to Mitzrayim, it says, Vayhi Sham Legoy. In Mitzrayim, they became a nation. But what made them distinct about their nation? They didn't have their own land. They didn't have their own freedom. What held them together as a nation is possibly what the Gemara in Yevamos tells us. That there are three simanim amongst Bnei Yisrael. Rachmanim, Vaishanim, and Gomlei Chasadim. They're merciful, they're humble, and they're Gomel Chesed. And that's the covenant Bnei Yisrael made with each other. And what reminded them of the Gmilut Chesed? What was their signpost? What was their inspiration? These trees that came from the great-great-grandfather. From Avraham Avinu, the personification of Chesed. And these huge trees remind Bnei Yisrael, no matter what happens, we're going to be Gomel Chesed with one another. And that message may have been an additional message why Yaakov Avinu, Dafka, brought down those trees to Mitzrayim. I have to tell you that I never cease to be amazed by the amount of chesed that you see here. See here in Eretz Yisrael, you're living in Eretz Yisrael. I know there's chesed also in Chutz Laaretz. But it's just amazing. Last Sunday I had to leave early. My mother had fallen, she broke her arm, I had to take her to the emergency room. So Baruch Hashem, she didn't have to be hospitalized, but you're sitting in the emergency room, Sunday night of Hanukkah, and these guys come around, and they start handing out packages, like with dreidels and candies. Yeah, take it. If not for you, bring it home to your kids, to your grandchildren. They give it to us. There are a few Arabs sitting across in the waiting room. They gave it to them. You want? Yeah, take. Give everybody. And it just reminded me, you shouldn't have to spend time in the hospital here, anyway. But the chesed is just amazing. You're there lunchtime and the people come around and they start handing out sandwiches to the visitors because maybe you haven't eaten today. The patients get from the hospital food. But usually, I know there's a cafeteria, but here, take a sandwich. Don't worry. It's like kosher, badatz, mahadrin, etc. Whatever you want. What do you want? You want tuna, you want egg salad, you want this, you want that. How much is it? No, it doesn't cost anything. Just go. You're there for Shabbos? In Hadassah and Kerem, in Hadassah Harat Sofrim, there's somebody, I don't know who it is, he sponsors meals every Shabbos, so for all the guests, if you're visiting a patient and you're not just there for an hour, like somebody close and you may be sleeping there overnight, you're there all day long, a Shabbos meal. Friday night, lunch, Shalosh Shuris, how much they charge? They don't charge anything. Want to pay them, they don't really want to take. Somebody sponsors it. And somebody else comes every week and runs it. And is there in the hospital to give it out. Let's say Shabbos. You're in the hospital, you get a concert. These kids come and they start singing songs in the ward, in the hall, to entertain everybody. The adult comes with them and he runs a little choir. You know, and the people come out and they listen. It was a new car, but it was a used car. I bought it about a year ago. And about 6 months ago, I don't know exactly when it was, I got a flat tire. And I wasn't so used to the car and I couldn't figure out how to get out the spare. And I had some problems. Somebody said, well, call... I think they're called here Yedidim. I don't know, in America. They also have what... So I call this guy, and the guy comes along, says, where are you? And about 15, 20 minutes later, he comes along, changes the tire for me. How much do I owe you? Nothing. This is what we do. Have a good day. it's just one story after another. You know, there's the story they tell, I think I may have told you about the guy who was driving along, I don't know, on the, was it the Belt Parkway or the Long Island Express or Grand Central, I think it was the Grand Central Parkway, they tell the story. And the Frum guy's driving along and he sees a guy with a yarmulke with his car off to the side, he has car trouble. I told you the story, and he, so the guy pulls over and he comes over, the guy says, can I help you, can I this? And he's talking to the guy, and the Frum guy says, this guy's wearing a yarmulke, but he doesn't look Jewish at all. He doesn't sound Jewish at all. So he turns to him and he says, by the way, are you Jewish? So he said, no. So he said, well, why are you wearing a yarmulke? He said, what? Oh, you mean that beanie on my head? I don't know. But my mother told me that if I ever get stuck with car trouble, just to put this beanie on my head, and someone for sure is going to stop to help. So it's funny, but it's true. Somebody told me a story many years ago. The story probably goes back quite a number of decades. It was a graduate from Yeshiva Flatbush, who, I don't know, Nebuch had problems and had certain psychological problems, and for some reason ended up in a certain psychiatric hospital in the New York area. And there was one of the teachers who was somehow or another still in touch and was trying to help him. And that specific hospital did not have the best of reputation. But he didn't know what to do, where to go. For some reason, he calls up the Satmar Bikachon. Starts down the problem. He says, okay, this is what you have to do. You have to get him out of this hospital, and you have to get him into a different hospital. The other hospital is much better. And he starts telling me, this is what the person you have to call, this is what you have to do. He says, now, they may demand from you, if I remember the story correctly, a certain bond to put down to make sure. I think it was about $3,000. Right? If the person has the money, fine. If the person doesn't have the money, so let us know. We'll provide you with the money on loan. We'll send a courier down to... And he told us, Yeshiva Flash, nobody cared whether you said halal yom ha'atzmaut or you burnt the flag. No, none of this mattered. There was a Jew who was in trouble, and people help. And you know, Hatzolah doesn't ask for anything about your affiliation or anything. They just, somebody's in trouble, we're going with chesed. And that's that bris that we recorace with one another in Mitzrayim is really, to a great extent, what keeps us going. We're one, we're united. Yeah, we fight with each other, we yell at each other, we're very much of a dysfunctional family. Here in Eretz Yisrael, more so than Chutz La'aretz, we're a dysfunctional family. But we're family. And, you know, you can yell at your siblings and be angry at them, etc., but your siblings in trouble, right? So you're going to help them. Then you'll beat them up afterwards. Mm-hmm. But if they get in trouble, you're going to help them. And that's what it's all about. And that's the Eshel of Avram that he planted to be Gomel Chesed. Yaakov Avinu brings down to Mitzrayim. And he replants it. It's a sign to Bnei Yisrael that no matter what happens, whether in Golus, whether in Shibud, in Avdus, this is what's going to make us a goy. This is what's going to keep us together. Every morning, one of the earliest requests we make in davening is we say, "V'sigmalenu chasadim tovim." We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be gomel chesed to us. It seems to me that the biggest guarantee for that bracha to be fulfilled is if we remember to be gomel chasadim to others. In a big way, in a little way. Sometimes a smile, sometimes just a kind word, a helping hand. And if we go machasadim to others, then we can be more assured that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bezos Hashem will be go machesed to us.